Here we go. Hello, welcome. Podcast number 797. We are in windy Lake Hawea with lovely Kate Callahan, holistic nutritionist. We've driven over from Queenstown. It's very windy today.
It is really windy.
The lake is
There's waves.
Going crazy.
There's
yeah.
Waves.
I don't know, how long have I known you? I think I met you. My God. Quite a while ago, and then I saw you again at the, is it Nikki's yoga thing at Criffy Station? And then I contacted Kate right at the start of my pregnancy because I was in undescribable agony with my, let's call them bowels, because they are bowels. Let's get right deep down and dirty and talk about it. I think you stuck in my head because I can't even remember. Somebody said, why don't you just message Kate and see what's going on? And I didn't know I was pregnant and I didn't know what was going on. And I was actually petrified of the pain that I was going through. It was horrendous. It was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. Ren's going to pipe in whenever she needs to, but that's all right. And then we worked through a series of kind of conversations about what was going on. And I think I had found out I was pregnant then, very early pregnancy. And you gave me some really simple, let's just stop and start again advice around what to eat and what to, you know, because you go on Dr. Google and you're overwhelmed with what you should be doing and you just kind of end up going, I'm just not going to eat anything or do anything. Do you get a lot of people kind of in a panic mode?
Oh, yes.
Contacting you?
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got to the end of a thing.
Yeah.
Hey.
Panic and over googled and overwhelmed and thinking that everything's wrong with them and but then at the same time not knowing what to do and just really stressed out and going, I'm confused, just help.
Yeah. So you're a nutritionist.
I am a nutritionist. I'm a university qualified dietitian.
Right.
But I practice as a nutritionist in New Zealand.
So what's the difference? Because you hear, I've heard food coach, food therapist, dietitian, nutritionist, health practitioner, health food practitioner. What, you know, what, when we see that written in front of us and we're looking for somebody, what's the simple way of explaining what that is?
So if you're a dietitian, you actually have to have gone to university and done 4 years of university study and actually have a bachelor degree.
Right, okay.
A nutritionist is not as regulated.
Yeah.
Most nutritionists will go to university as well, but not for as long.
Right, or you
go to a college or you can do online. It's just not as regulated. Health coach is usually an online, maybe 6 months to 12 months. Really not regulated. I'm not saying that health coach is bad. There are some wonderful health coaches out there. I think we shouldn't get too caught up in the semantics of it. Because I know there are health coaches who are better informed than some dietitians and vice versa. And it's just all about working with the individual person and finding someone who resonates with you, but also understanding the different qualifications and appreciating that they will know different amounts.
Yes. Okay. So what do you most commonly get asked for? So somebody finds you online.
Yep.
What are they generally asking about?
So most of them are women's health, hormone health. Because of my background with amenorrhea and my struggles with fertility and how I had to work through that, I initially wanted to specialize in mental health.
Yep.
But then my own path with the doctor saying you're not going to be able to fall pregnant naturally, because I didn't have a period, because I basically exercised too much and didn't eat enough and was just a dumbass with my health, really.
As we all are, often.
Just the technical term, I was a dumbass, really.
Hashtag. Love it.
I was really too lean. And so that led me down my path of being really stubborn and saying, no, I'm going to heal myself. And managed to conceive naturally through using food and movement, stress management, self-love twice now. So that's what most women come to me for help with that fertility, getting their fertility on track. And then that has that flow-on effect of pregnancy, babies.
Yeah.
But I also see some women with like PCOS who don't really want to have babies. Or endometriosis who aren't ready to have babies. They just have really horrific periods. And some of the stories I hear about painful periods and people, women vomiting and having to call an ambulance just through their periods.
Yep.
It's like, oh my God, I never had that because I basically went off the pill and then had nothing.
Yeah.
So, and the pill will suppress all of your hormones pretty much. And so you'll often have quote unquote nicer periods. They're not real periods.
But
you won't have those same symptoms while you're on the pill. So it's just, it's really quite full on. And it's, yeah, I'm really motivated to help these women because it shouldn't be like that every month that you want to call the ambulance if you're in that much pain.
Yeah. And how much of our health is food related? Sounds like a simple statement or a stupid statement, but how much of it is health? Is, because you hear so much more now about what you put into your body is so important for so many things, for mental health, for mental well-being, for diet, in exercise, feeling good about yourself, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's everything really. For physical, mental, and emotional support. So if you think about what our body is made up of, we're made up of proteins, we're made up of fats, we're made up of sugars, which come from carbohydrates. Everything that our body is constructed of, is made up of, is coming from food. If we don't eat good quality food, we're going to be made up of crappy quality materials, really. And more research is coming out about that, especially when it comes to the effect or the role of your gut and its impact on your skin and your mental health and your hormone health. But absolutely getting those vitamins and minerals in, they are used for so many different processes in your body. And there's so much evidence that just changing that diet has a huge impact. But it's often kind of the last thing that people turn to. But we also can't understate the importance of things like stress management, sleep, and exercise. So yes, diet is everything, but I also say that if you don't have your sleep and your stress in check, then you could be eating whatever you want not going to get those positive benefits.
Why? I mean, some of these questions are quite, you know, people think, duh, you know, we know the answer to those things, but why is food so difficult to understand? You know, I am a relatively, some days, intelligent human being, but I go into supermarkets sometimes and my brain is saying to me, buy stuff. I buy a lot of stuff that's just food. So it's a potato, it's a carrot, it's a da da da. But you go and you look on the back of a packet and it's, my brain just shuts down and goes, I don't know what I'm looking at. And I've been told so many times how to read labels. And yeah, I go into a supermarket and I'm overwhelmed. And psychologically, my brain says, oh, it's got something in it that's good for me, so I'll buy it because it's fine. And you can actually hear that voice in your brain saying, it's fine, it's got nuts in it or coconut.
It's got some acai.
I'm sure it's fine. It is so difficult. Why is that? I know people need to sell stuff.
Yeah, so marketing's a big thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you've got pretty packets that say gluten-free, superfoods, high fibre, it can get confusing. But I think you really summed it up when you said you look at those labels and your kind of brain just switches off and you go, shit, I don't know what's on. I don't actually know what I'm looking at. What's this word?
Yeah.
That's a good indicator for you to put that back down. And go and get the potato. That's a good swap, isn't it? You can have this tasty muesli bar, but no, go and get a potato. I'm kidding. There are options. So marketing is a big thing, but if you're looking at a label and there's things that you don't understand and you don't know what it is, then put it back and go for the things that are just real food. And even some of the bars and the more kind of snappy treat foods, there are still some really good quality ones out there where you can recognise all the ingredients, the amount of nuts and dried fruit and honey seeds and things. And they're fine. But more sticking to, as you said, around the perimeter.
Yeah.
Going back to what our great grandparents ate. Going back to that, those basics.
Yeah.
Not trying to overcomplicate it. Yeah. Just going, okay, meat and free veg.
Yeah.
This is really good for me.
Yeah.
Eggs, whole foods. Yeah. What could you grow yourself? What grows in the ground, or what can we raise on a farm ourselves if we were so inclined to do so? Yeah.
So if we're in the supermarket, I think we've got a preface going on.
Awesome.
Always at the time that you want it. What are the five things that you need to have in your supermarket trolley every time? Just five.
Oh.
What would you choose?
Veggies.
Yes.
Colourful veggies.
Yes.
All different colours.
Yeah.
So I think we put too much emphasis on greens.
Yeah.
But we need all colours for all the antioxidants and vitamins and minerals. Fruit.
Yes.
We need... My brain's going, butter, butter, butter.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you are the butter queen. I love you for that reason.
When you try and say something else, people are just going, butter, like, say butter, butter, say butter,
butter. Say coconut water, butter. Ah.
Yeah.
So butter, we'll have that there.
I would say good quality yogurt.
Yeah.
So ideally like a coconut yogurt. If you tolerate dairy, then a full fat organic yogurt. How many is that? Three, four. Nuts and seeds. Oh, no, animal eggs. Foods. Eggs.
Yeah, eggs. Amazing. Eggs. When I first fed Ren eggs, I was praying to the non-religious god that she was not allergic to eggs, because I find them so versatile.
Yeah.
I put them in everything. I have them every day. And she doesn't, not too keen on scrambled, but I think it's a bit boring.
Mm.
But anything yolky slams it down. Yep. Absolutely slams it down. And I'm like,
yeah, everything.
I was laughing because people said, oh, is there anything she doesn't like? And I was like, kind of not really into avocado, but I don't care because it's $10.
Yeah, $10. God. Ed likes avocado.
Yeah, no, she's not too keen on it. All right, so let's slide into babies. I can hear the click off of some people from the podcast, but I don't care. We were all babies at one time. But again, that whole controversy around, I've tried not to read too much because I didn't read anything before she was born. Probably that I'm just making it up, as most of us do. But I switch off when I hear, don't feed them bananas, do feed them bananas, don't feed them grains, do feed them grains, don't give them peanut butter, do give... And you kind of, what I've tended to do, and this is my only advice to people, is go again towards somebody that you really trust. So it was simple. You were like, just, this, no, probably not. And this, actually, yeah, just try to do that. And don't actually worry too much about it. Just be really, because the more you worry, the more they will worry.
Yep.
Just put food in front of them. And I remember my mum coming and going, why are you just plonking a carrot in front of her? And I'm like, because I just want her to put it in her mouth. I want her to taste it. And she's never going to be able to eat it because she's got no teeth. But it's just food.
Yep.
I want food to just be food. I don't want there to be dessert. I don't want there to be treats. I just want food to be food.
Yep.
The end. So what advice or useful information would you give people who are just starting to feel their way with stuff like solids for babies?
Okay. So the whole baby-led weaning thing is probably a thing that people get caught up in, like, do we, don't we, or do we do purees? I would say it's probably best to do a combination.
Mm-hmm.
So they say food before one is just for fun.
Yeah.
But the reality is they do need some nutrients that your breast milk can't supply. So iron... and zinc.
Yep.
So iron, that's why they have iron fortified rice cereal, but you know, there's real food that you can get that has iron in it, like meat or liver. So I would start with something like that. So some good quality organic liver or a bit of red meat. And they don't have teeth
at
6 months. So you can get, say, a lamb cutlet or a big hunk of steak, something they're not going to rip chunks off, and cook it medium rare so then they can just suck the juices out.
Absolutely love it.
Something that they can hold on to as well. And egg yolks, as you said, wonderful first food because they're rich in choline, which is really good for their brain.
Yeah.
And then starting with more of the starchy veggies, which are easy to digest, so your sweet potatoes, pumpkin, things like that you can mash up.
Yeah.
When they're able to hold things, they're more of the finger foods, even if they're not going to eat them, like carrots and...
Just smelling... Feeling, trying.
Yep.
I laughed at your picture on Instagram where you had your shopping trolley basically full of food.
When it's on special, like, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm taking it all.
Absolutely. Because I know that we do a combination, puree for, like, when I'm running around like a crazy woman, and then when I have got the time to just sit and let her cover her face, I love it. Actually, just let them completely cover their bodies in food, and they just love it. They laugh. They look hysterical. Then they lose it.
Yeah, but that's important for the development as well.
Yeah,
the whole tasting, touching, smelling.
Yeah,
all of it's important. Absolutely, plonking that food in front of them. So I like to say, you decide what they have.
Yeah,
they decide how much.
Yes.
So they're very good at self-regulating.
Yes.
And if we mess with that, then that can lead to issues down the track.
Because I got worried, because literally there is no off button for food for Ren. You put it in front of her and she just keeps going. And my mum's like, she's had a lot of food. And I'm like, yeah, but they don't psychologically have that thing where they mess with, shouldn't eat that, oh, that's too much, oh God, I might get fat, oh, da, da, da. You put it in front of her, she eats and eats and eats and eats and eats, and then all of a sudden it will just stop and she'll be bored and it'll be thrown away. And I was just like, I'm just going to let her decide.
Exactly.
When she's done.
Exactly.
Or throw it all over herself.
And that's the way it should be with kids. Well, it should be the way with adults as well, but we messed up somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And we don't know an appropriate amount because we messed with our hunger and satiety. So if we can just leave kids to their own devices, you give them good foods to choose from and let them go.
Yeah, cool. I am going to Bali. I'll put that in there. Next week.
Rub it in.
I know. And one thing I am slightly worried about is food. Yeah. I'm not going to stress about it. She has more milk than food, then fine, whatever. I think the whole thing for me is the making sure it's clean. Mm-hmm. Lots of good advice around just give her stuff that's covered. So bananas are covered. Things that have got skins, and just try not to stress about how much goes in there. Is there anything that I should maybe take?
Focus. She's probably going to have more milk anyways, because it's more of a comfort thing. It's that consistency.
Yeah.
But absolutely choosing those foods that are in wrapping, so to speak, in natural wrapping.
Yeah.
Again, eggs are a good option if you know they're good quality.
Yeah.
There are some good restaurants and cafes in Bali, so just sussing out a really good quality restaurant and knowing that they'll be okay. The worst thing is she gets a bit of gastro.
Yeah, well,
I'm not putting that on you, but she won't. Like
the three of
she
us.
Won't.
I've got this image of us three of us in a hotel room going, why have we done this? but you know, it'll be all right. It'll be what it'll be. So oils, you got into a couple of years ago.
Probably about 18 months ago.
And I know it's kind of a trendy thing at the minute for people to use oils. And I've got a friend who makes oils. And I was talking to him about how useful and wonderful he's found them. And he just said to me, you don't have to get caught up in the, you know, buying a million different ones. But he's like, find ones that you think work for you. And if people think that, oh, it's all placebo, it's not real, or it's blah, blah, blah. If it works for you, I don't care. I actually don't care. And what led you to that path?
My friend actually gave me some oils to start with. So it was the Easy Air, which is the respiratory blend for congestion, and the On Guard, which is more of the immune support. And I just started using them with Olivia and just noticed a difference. So the Easy Air, if she had a cold, it would be the difference between us sleeping and not if we use that. And the On Guard was more to stop her from picking up a lot of bugs. And she has been, she's very resilient in terms of getting over colds and not getting many colds.
Yeah.
But she was always a shit house sleeper.
Yeah.
And so then about 18 months ago, I went more into the sleepy oils.
Yeah.
After kind of shafting the oils for a while and then coming back to it, and then used one called Lavender Peace.
Yeah.
And it was the first time she slept through the night when I rubbed some soles of her feet. And then I came, oh, hallelujah.
Yeah, woo, oil. Because I used lavender on my feet when I was pregnant and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I just even like the smell of it. But last week I did the peppermint thing in the shower and it was like somebody had punched me in the face with mint. I was like, I'm awake!
It's so
I've had too much sleep and I'm awake, people!
So good.
It was amazing. And then I used lemon in the toilet because, you know, living with a boy, they smell. And I also put lemon in my dishwasher.
Yeah.
Because my dishwasher stinked. Stinked? That's not even a word.
Good English.
I know. Incredible. If you, all right, let's do the whole, if you could pick two that you would take with you? Because I know you recently went away to Australia and you took some with you. Yep. What are two that are like you just stick in your bag and you go, if I need anything else, I'll just use these two?
Two for travel, especially for Bali, actually. Yep. Two for travel would be Digestin,
which I've got,
and On Guard. Yes. So people who have been away and got gastro, or they've been in a group that's got gastro, yep, they've used Digestin and it's stopped it in its
track. Okay.
And they've used On Guard to help prevent.
And is that a rub on the tummy?
Yep, one? Rub on the tummy. Yep. Always dilute.
Yes.
Always dilute. Less
very,
is more.
Very strong. Yeah.
Very,
there's
very
like
strong.
30 million lemons in one drop of lemon stuff.
Almost.
Yeah. No, it's incredible.
So, yeah, so one drop of peppermint is 28 cups of peppermint tea.
That's so. Why I felt like I've been punched in the face, because yeah. I only bought like six drops. Somebody went, whoa, Jade, calm down there.
So, yes, digest center on guard when you're traveling. Absolutely.
Cool. Amazing. I'm in Kate's house at the minute, and it's smells delicious. All right, so we will, we're going to do our quick fire,
okay,
which, you know, is interesting. Are you ready?
No.
Good. macadamia or walnuts?
Macadamia.
Sea or mountains?
Sea.
One album that you'd have to listen to for the rest of your life?
Anything Michael Jackson.
Okay. Yeah, like that. One famous person you'd have around for dinner. They can be alive or dead.
Oprah.
Nice.
Is that really cliche?
No, not at all. I reckon she'd like a good cocktail, that lady. Yeah. Run or bike?
Bike.
Okay. Books or music?
No.
You only have them in your house for the rest of your life?
Audible books.
You're a loser. the last music gig you went to, and if you say like 10 years ago, that's a disgrace.
Oh, it is a disgrace. I think it was actually you too.
Michael Jackson.
I wish I went to Michael Jackson.
I know.
You too was the last
one. Oh, amazing. Somebody you'd like to see live, and they can be dead or alive.
Michael Jackson.
Of course. I walked right into that. Apple or orange?
Apple.
And your next holiday?
Hopefully Fiji in the June.
Yes, you should always have one booked, I say. Yeah, even if it's going to Mikago, have it booked, people.
Mikago's the place to be.
I know, it is. It's, you know, it's on my list. And what has social media given you? A really positive thing that it's given you? Because we hear lots of crappy stories about it. But what has it given you either access to, or what's it just given you? What can you do? Yeah. People to talk to.
Yeah, people to help, people to talk to, people to reach out to, connection. Yep.
Amazing. So what's the rest of the week looking like? What is your week?
My week, I work on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the morning.
Yeah.
And then mumming, really, yes, the rest of the time. I work in the evenings when the kids are in bed.
Yeah.
But just hanging out and getting outside.
Yeah. Amazing.
Keeping the peace between toddler and baby.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well done. Kate Callahan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jane.